Check, check the vibe, vibe the checks.
What's the vibe like?
What's Gucci Mob coming to you live?
What's up, man? Live from LA? Lala?
I'm in the 323, 310. I don't know what the area code is here, actually.
You don't?
818 is the valley. I think I'm in the 310.
You should probably get to know that. You know, you got to know that stuff.
323 is definitely a lot of LA. I don't know. 513 is still the best area code I've ever seen.
513, yeah, for sure, 100%.
The 5-1 Trey. A lot of 1-3s. There's a 213.
Regulate, yeah.
Is good. That's, I believe, LA as well.
Compton, I would imagine, with those guys claiming.
Sure.
213, regulate.
I'll tell you what, I live close to Crenshaw. Is right. So when I tell people where I live, it's like Wilshire and Crenshaw. But it's like the end of Crenshaw. I'll tell you what, if you take a right on Crenshaw, it gets a little hairy.
Then you're on Crenshaw. Yeah.
You are. Then you're on actually Crenshaw. I'm like, what's going on down Crenshaw? And then you realize it's a lot of stuff.
I didn't need to know. Yeah. I'd rather hear the story.
The Rolling 60s, as Nipsey Hussle used to reference, is just down the street from me.
That's nice.
Yeah, it's fun.
La La Land.
Yeah.
A lot of history there.
Yeah. And if the economy continues to downturn, I'm close to the thick of where things might go a little sideways.
Oh, sure.
But yeah, I've been chilling. We're getting good weather here. We had a little heat wave, actually.
We're in the middle of a heat wave. It's been 100 for the past few days. It's going to be 105 on Thursday.
Really?
I do not want that. It's not fun.
That's funny. That's actually not funny. That's not cool at all.
No, well, it's going to come back down into the 90s by next week, I think. But, you know, it's May. It could just stay there, and all of a sudden it's tough. It's summertime.
It's tough out there. I'm thinking about hitting the beaches. The LA County beaches are all closed still.
People are out in the streets. Yeah, at Huntington Beach, I saw some photos.
Yeah, people are chilling in, like, Newport Beach. And then up north, Ventura beaches. So might have to just get some rays, dude. Work off this tan, bro.
Do you have an option? Does your backyard have a tanning option?
It's pretty shady. No. I mean, no. Probably for an hour or two during the day. It's like hitting it at noon or something. We got good coverage, which is actually kind of nice.
Yes.
But also
during a quarantine,
need these rays.
You want the coverage when it's not a quarantine, when you have the option to go get some.
I was looking out there today. There's some squirrels just trying to get a nut, dude. This dude's huevos are plumped up. He was because I heard some screeching, and I was like, "What's going on out there?" And this dude's trying to hook up with this squirrel.
Like a mating call thing.
I guess
I've never. Female squirrel, a squirrelette.
I'm just trying to figure out what maybe a female squirrel might be, but
girl squirrel.
I'll tell you what, you don't see. I watch a lot of animal documentaries, as you know, and you never see squirrels courting squirrels. So I don't. I think I saw it today. And it was pretty. It would not make for good TV. It's very
aggressive and screaming and
screeches that I don't think are comfortable to anybody. And then, but yeah, this squirrel was trying to get a couple of nuts.
Like yeah. That looked like that bulldog in Van Wilder.
Yeah, he was trying to, exactly. And this female squirrel was kind of just like, what's up, dude? I'm chilling. I'm just trying to eat.
And yeah, it's like our world. And we're like, what's up? They're like, listen, I'm seeing somebody. I'm just talking to my friend right now. Yeah.
It was tough.
Not interested.
So everybody's having a tough quarantine, even the animal kingdom. But
that's good entertainment. I just got just ordered some bikes last week, and the bikes came today.
Two bicycles.
Me and my roommate Mike got some bikes. We're gonna have to. We got something to do now. We have some content. We're gonna have to put together a bike.
Oh, you have to put the bike together.
100%.
What type of bike did you get? What'd you say you tried
it's
to
like
do?
A hybrid. Like a road bike, but the tires are built for more like it can go on trails and stuff like that, so you got options. But it's not an actual, I didn't need a mountain bike. I'm not going, you know what I mean, I'm not kidding myself.
No.
It's going to be good. I'm excited to put it together, get on the road and just sweat. It's 105 degrees.
Well, 127 hours type stuff. You don't need to do that?
No. Did he bike out there or he walked out there?
He biked for a little bit. I know there was part of that movie he was biking for sure. But ended up pretty tough for him.
I know myself. I don't need to all that. But I wouldn't mind getting on a trail, you know, a little bit.
No, yeah, you got some good options around you. So here we are, end of April. This past weekend was the first time we had any, like, live sporting event, even though it wasn't really a sporting event. But the
draft.
NFL draft came and went, and us as Bengals fans.
Big day.
That was pretty pretty neat weekend to watch. I don't know. I feel like it's like it was a transformational weekend within this team that we love. Like, it's a completely different.
Well, yeah, we'll see. But I mean, very excited. We took Joe Burrow number one overall. Seems to be the type of guy that can change your franchise for sure. So super excited. Haven't been this excited about a draft pick in a long time.
It's just weird. It's kind of, I don't know, sometimes it's tough to admit, but I do love sports. We both love our Cincinnati teams. And this was a huge, it's just weird when you get like a number one overall pick. We've unfortunately had it multiple times as Bengals fans. Yeah. Dan Wilkinson was number one, wasn't he?
Big Daddy. Was that? I think so. I know. What's his name? Akili Smith?
Kajana Carter was number one overall. Well, now I'm talking like number one overall, though. We've had it like four times.
Wasn't Akili Smith the number one overall?
Number three overall.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Didn't do anything with that, Akili. Like Achilles heel. But
also, getting my roommate is sponsored by something called G Fuel. So this could be... I could be like tweaking out. This could be like four Loko stuff.
You G'd up from the feet up. Let's go. Focus,
performance energy. I don't know what it's like for gamers. Yeah. It's like caffeine for gamers. It's
cocaine in a can.
300 milligrams of caffeine. I know that's a lot.
Damn.
It's crushing this stuff. But sorry. Yeah. But we've had some number
one. Yeah. You got to be bad to get good. And we've been bad. We've been trying hard at being bad. So. But yeah, we got that. I mean, if there's ever a year to be the number one pick, this is the year for sure. Joe Burrow seems like the real deal.
It's just interesting. I just think it's there are weird relationships that are built as sports fans, and like a quarterback as a franchise is like a weirdly intimate relationship. You defend them in like public spaces, like. I've had like vehement arguments with people about like Andy Dalton and like with strangers and being like, dude, you don't know like what he's been through and stuff. And like Carson Palmer was a dude that like I had his back for so many years. Like you don't really,
didn't have yours.
And right. As sports fans, it's never like a two-way street. Obviously that's why they call
it's like, I've been staunchly in your corner for years. When will you be in mine?
But, that's why I guess like, it's kind of the next like 10 years of my life are like attached to this 23-year-old kid from Athens, Ohio. You know what I mean? It's as true as it could be. I'm not going to not be a Bengals fan in 10 years unless they move or something. But even then, I think I might still roll with them just based on my love for Tigers. But it's just like a big transformational thing. Like, now I'll be defending this kid. And I love that it's this is a more exciting for me than most of them, because we had like Carson Palmer. We've drafted a number one overall Heisman winner before, but Carson was like this Southern California dude. The energy wasn't there. He wasn't a leader of men. He
didn't really love Cincinnati. I don't think so. Coming from LA, it'd be tough to fall in love with.
He was weak, soft minded or weak minded. I don't know if weak minded is fair, but like kind of a soft dude, when it came down to it, is like his wife decided that she didn't love Cincinnati, therefore he didn't love Cincinnati.
Well, we gave him some reasons for sure to not like sitting throwing trash in his yard. It's not the most welcoming.
But also, don't shit the bed so much. When did we throw trash in his yard, though? Wasn't it after he, like...
No, I know what you mean. I know what you mean. But I don't know if he was soft, but he just couldn't get it done. He had his chance and really shitty circumstances with the injury in the playoff game. And then when he had chances down the line, he just couldn't get it done.
It's just like, I feel like this is the dude that we've been kind of waiting for. We've had these three different quarterbacks over the past 17 years. We had Carson Palmer, USC. You typically doesn't produce good quarterbacks, which is weird because they have a lot of
Pac-10 thing. Yeah,
a Pac-10 has produced.
I knew I could get you going. I'm just kidding.
Well, that's not accurate though. Pac-10 does produce good quarterbacks. I know. Aaron Rodgers, I know. Andrew Luck, all those guys.
I understand. No, I know.
But USC typically doesn't. They don't translate for some reason to good
Matt
quarterbacks.
Leinart. Yeah,
yeah. Matt Leinart, John David Booty. Who could forget?
JDB,
Matt Barkley, all those guys, they just never really translate. So we had this guy, the first guy, Carson Palmer, didn't end up working out, even though he had some great years. And then Dalton was a Texas boy. It's like, all right, that's closer to what we want. Texas dude, TCU, I can respect that. Redhead was tough to defend.
Carson was kind of a redhead too.
Kind of, but you could brush red that aside.
Bearded. Yeah.
Dalton was like flaming.
Yeah. Oh, shock of red hair. Yeah. Yeah, it was like Conan O'Brien playing for the Bengals, yeah.
He was the, like, you always had to defend these lame pregame speeches, like, all right, guys, let's go just work hard.
Compete. He would say compete. Compete. Like, Jesus Christ.
Let's have fun out there. And everybody would be like, all right, dude, come on, bro. So
have fun. How about we win the game? That sounds like fun.
And he had such bad luck. He had a couple of years where, like you do feel bad for him because he wasn't as bad as people perceive him to be.
Right.
That's why I defended him a lot. I don't think I think a lot of Cincinnati fans talk shit about him, but it's like some of that wasn't his fault. It's a team game, and he put us in positions to win a lot of times. But this kid just seems like it's like he's first of all from Ohio.
Yes, it's a good start.
Southern Ohio.
He gets it.
Rural Ohio.
You are so excited.
aren't you? I mean,
I am. I know.
I don't know. I'm not. I'm just trying to express how I feel, but I'm fucking jacked up about this. So I don't think I've never had like such optimism about a pick. I don't think.
I don't know.
As a Bengals fan,
you were pretty excited about Jordan Shipley. You were very excited about Jordan Shipley.
I'm about Jordan Shipley, but that was like a third round pick.
I know, it's funny. I do remember. Oh, you got the jersey right away.
Well, he had knee injuries that fucked him up, dude. Jordan Shipley was a badass, and then he just had the knee shit. But he always had the knee shit, like two surgeries.
No, I'm 100%. I'm very excited to have him on the team. He's a Tiger. I like that. Played for a team that was a Tiger. That's a good start. First two picks, both Tigers. I like, you know what I'm saying? We should draft all Tigers. Mizzou didn't get a draft pick, but we can get Tigers, trade for a Tiger down the line.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, dude, I'm jacked up. Absolutely. I'm just hoping it works out. But, I mean, if you want to tie your wagons to a guy, this guy seems like the dude to do it. Confident. Swagger.
Dude, he looks
like leader of men. Yeah,
he just seems like the dude. I don't know. I feel like I just am very excited about what's gonna happen, and I'm excited that we didn't have to go. If Tua never got injured, we would have had to draft Tua. And I like Tua, but like, I don't know if I like a dude that's that. Every press conference is about Jesus Christ and stuff. It's like, you know, come on.
We know how you feel. Yeah,
your eye pain is crosses. Like,
you don't like that.
I'm a big JC guy. Like, I think he did some great things during his 33 years.
You just don't want it involved in your football?
Yeah. That's, you know, there's a whole book about him to read about. Don't talk about him after the game. and then the second round, I will go on record. I've never been this excited about a draft pick than Joe Burrow. I'm pumped up. I'm just saying that. T. Higgins, though, also.
Stud. And he said he was a Bengals fan, grew up a Bengals fan. And I felt old because I was like, well, how old was this? He's like 22. He's like 10 years ago. He was like 12 and fell in love with the Bengals. He really did grow up a Bengals fan.
But he likes
AJ Green.
AJ Green, yeah. Adriel Jeremiah, who I think both of us really like.
Huge fan. Might be one of my favorite. I think he's up there, favorite Bengal ever.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I would say I'm a big Vontaze guy, obviously. And then, but that's just ASU allegiances. And then, yeah, AJ's up there.
Oh, for sure. TD Higgins seems to be the real deal. And he was like kind of like AJ when he came in to Clemson, skinny, but could go up and get anything, really put some weight on. He looks like a complete stud.
I'm excited about that. I just like stories like, yeah, I'm a Bengals fan and I love AJ Green.
It's you don't hear it a lot. Yeah, so it's nice to hear it.
Come on, dude. I get it. I get this guy. And then so I'm excited about that. And it's just – it's fun. It's fun to have something, I guess. It's probably the fact that there's nothing else to, like, be excited about.
No, it was fun. That was a fun Thursday. It was like, all right, we got the draft today. It felt like a kind of a – I've never been a draft guy. And watching the draft made concreted my feelings that I'm not a draft guy. But
well, you just don't know exciting. A lot of these kids, too. You're like, who the fuck is this guy? I don't even know who
this is. Yeah, I used to know the whole first round. Yeah, it's weird. But, yeah, not a draft guy. But that was exciting. It was nice to have something you didn't know what was going to happen. It was, you know, didn't know where this was going to go. Something to fucking talk about.
Yeah, it was great. I like – I'm excited about it. And hopefully we get to watch live sports eventually. They're saying that baseball and basketball are talking about June.
Late June, I saw that, yeah.
Early June for basketball, I think, and then late June for – baseball, which is that's exciting.
It is exciting. I don't know. I just don't know if it's gonna actually happen. I'm trying to weigh my excitement a little. I don't want to get too excited because who knows if that's actually gonna happen.
I don't know. Well, you have to come back eventually, don't we? That's what's also.
I don't know. Like, yeah.
You're like, what is this? Is this life now? Like, we don't. Nobody has jobs, and like, it's crazy. It's weird that sports is like the litmus test too. Like the NBA decided when this started, and then the NBA kind of is this thing that people are looking at to be like, when are we going to be back to normal?
Yeah, for sure. That was that day. Tom Hanks, Donna, or what's his name? Rudy Gobert.
Rudy Gobert. It's weird stuff.
Speaking of the NBA, have you watched Jordan's documentary Sunday? Did you watch episodes 3 and 4?
I'm up to speed. Yeah, I've got nothing else going on. Sundays are just dedicated to that now.
Yeah, it's something to look forward to for sure. But it's really good. These episode 3 and 4, I really enjoyed it. Fuck the Pistons, right?
We had both just watched the Rodman documentary. It's kind of, that was a little redundant, but Rodman's very interesting.
You
could have dove deeper on some of the stuff with him. And then they kind of skimmed over Phil Jackson a little bit. Because I just read – well, we talked about it. Like, I was doing the audiobook on Playing for Keeps. I just finished that this past week. And there's a whole, like, chapter on Phil Jackson that was really interesting. And they kind of –
seems like a super interesting dude, yeah.
Very –
just from what they talked about in the doc.
And I think they went more – Rodman than Phil, but that also makes sense because that's more people are interested in Dennis Rodman.
Right. And also, if we didn't know, I mean, we grew up with it, so we're a little, our age group like remembers that going on, but if you're younger watching this, to really break down Rodman would be maybe more interesting to them, but we know the story, so
yeah,
it's a little bit like, okay, yeah, I get it, Rodman's nuts.
I know, yeah,
Rodman likes to party.
Yeah, he loves it. He likes Pearl Jam.
Love Pearl Jam, love that about him. Carmen Electra. Wow.
Good friends with Eddie Vedder. Yeah, Carmen Electra, shout out to Princeton High School.
Yeah. GMC, dude.
That was right. I mean, we grew up right Fields-Erdl, a couple left turns. You were right there in Princeton. I mean, she was right there. I remember thinking about that when we lived in Wellington Place. It's like, she lived where Bobby Artis
down the road, yeah, yeah, for like, sure.
What?
Could have seen her on the bus.
That's so funny.
You know who gave her that name? Who gave her name?
Oh, hold on. Wasn't it Carmen Electra? Was it? I don't know. I've heard this before. Who?
Prince gave her a name.
Prince discovered her. Yes, yes, yes. That's great.
An eye for talent.
What a body.
What a body of work, for sure. Dennis Rodman and Prince, too.
What was Carmen Electra? Was she Baywatch? Wasn't she Baywatch?
I don't know.
Or just Playboy? I remember Playboy.
I don't know. I don't know. I can't remember. I think she was just hot.
She had to be in something, though, but yeah.
Singled out after Jenny McCarthy? I don't know.
Was she?
I really can't remember. I don't know.
Great career. Hopefully she's doing okay. She looked like she's doing fine.
She looked like she's doing just fine.
Definitely still doing sit-ups. But that's been nice, the Jordan stuff. It's been nice to, like, it is interesting that he's always talked about, and everybody always knows about him. He's always, like, omnipresent in the world of sports and, like, Michael Jordan and stuff like that. But watching it again, you're like, there is still, like, an underappreciation probably for Michael Jordan. Like, it's like this career that's, like, so perfect. Like, it's like a story. There's, like, these low points and these build-ups. And then he leaves the game. And then there's, like, this other build-up.
It felt like out of a movie. Growing up in the 90s, it was regular. Or it was not – it was new to us, but still normal. Like, this dude just lives in our world. Michael Jordan, walking and breathing. It was – just undefeated, dude. The guy was the coolest ever. And just the way he does everything. He makes everything. Like, who didn't want to have their tongue out dunking?
Right, yeah.
When you saw him do that, you're like, that's the coolest thing ever.
You know why he did that?
I don't. Prince?
His old man used to fix cars. And when he was growing up, his dad, when he was working, would always have his tongue out when he was doing things. And so he was, like, fixing the car, like, had his tongue out, like, and so he was literally just duplicating things that his
it's in the blood.
Yeah. And so he did that, and then it just kind of stuck.
That's crazy. Didn't know that.
Yeah. And then but it's good watching that. How about the migraine game was covered with Scottie Pippen?
Tough. Have you ever had a migraine though?
I have not. Our sister has them a lot.
Yeah, well, when I was younger, I'd have them, but not like before game seven against the who was it? The Pistons? Yeah.
You hear it sometimes. Oh, I've never
insane.
Had
it. It's super.
You can't see?
I wouldn't say I couldn't see. I also wasn't playing basketball. I was like laying. Seven. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? It wasn't different circumstances. I was laying in bed in pain, but it was not fun. Awful.
Yeah, no, I know Megan, our sister's had migraines before, and she doesn't sound good.
No, and I mean, yes, I don't think Scotty's making it up, you know what I mean?
Excedrin. That would suck. Excedrin. I just remember migraines from Simon in Die Hard with a Vengeance used to have migraines. It was, that's why he –
That's your reference point.
That's why he had the the Advil always, and then he threw it to John McClane at the end, and then John McClane got out of the bomb and realized that he was going to he connected the dots on that. Not to spoil the film, but it's great. By the way, watch that again.
It's amazing. You went from Game 7 migraine to Simon, the plot of Die Hard with the Vengeance.
Jeremy Irons suffered from migraines, but yeah, that the Pippen thing. I think Jordan's still pissed about that because it's like if they would have won that game, that could have been in the.
It could have been seven.
Yeah, who they lose? Who was that they lost to?
The Pistons.
Pistons. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah, that's unfortunate for sure. One thing you definitely take away from it is Jordan has not forgot anything, anybody who did him wrong or any situation that went. South, he has not forgotten one second. I love when they brought up even before they show him what Isaiah said about walking off in game seven, he's like, yeah, well, whatever he says is bullshit.
Yeah, perfect. he was very aware of all the levels of his career too, which is a cool thing to see. Like, he was aware of what those moments were in each moment. Like,
oh, yeah.
Very mature of him to, like, the way he talked after losing to the Pistons. You're like, wow. Like, this is a dude that a lot of people say is, like, arrogant and, like, kind of a, you know, ultra
competitive. He can be those things, too, but he was also the ultimate gentleman.
And the impact on Dean Smith, that Dean Smith had on him in the UNC years carried over to his career very well. That's very, like, a telling thing. Those UNC years, without those him choosing UNC, you wonder what type of a pro athlete he would have been. He probably still would have been great, but his perspective on, like, teamwork and, like,
sportsmanship, all that.
Yeah, and, like, his coachability was one thing that was always a common theme. And a lot of, like, even Doug Collins loved him because he was coachable. And then Phil Jackson was able to give him the triangle offense and, like, it is a crazy thing to have somebody at that height of the height of all athletes ever is still able to understand a team sport. He needs
that we need to play as a team.
It's crazy.
Wild, the coolest man. Yeah, for sure. It's like, always in control of almost every situation.
There's no other. There's a lot of other people's careers that you could probably make into 10-part documentaries, but they wouldn't. Like, LeBron's will probably be made into this thing, and LeBron's career will be very interesting because he was hyped since he was ninth grade or eighth grade, or whatever.
Yeah, for sure.
And then lived up to it. Like, that's a crazy
different arc. Yeah,
crazy thing, but like. The lows were almost him creating his own lows. Like, the lowest point he
the decisions
was his own doing, right? Like, right. And MJ's lows were, you know, he left the game and that was his choice. But, like, that was also his father died and all that stuff. Like,
a lot of stuff going on.
So.
Different cats, yeah. It's not a – I think Jordan's by far the best. And LeBron is absolutely incredible. But MJ's number one.
Well, the comparison's always so silly. It's like they're just completely different things. It's just crazy to watch it unfold again. And it's cool to see it now with the perspective that we have on Michael Jordan and then rehashing it. And you're like, man, this dude was the dude.
Oh, yeah.
So it's been cool to watch that. And then
some content for sure.
Yeah, just something. And how about ESPN having people watch commercials again?
It is annoying. It's not that bad, though. I'll take it.
Well, yeah.
You got the time now.
Well, during a commercial, you're just hitting Instagram or watching something on your phone for fun.
Or even during. Now you got to, like, put the phone away when you really want to watch something. Go charge it up.
Oh, I'm watching – I was watching this show, The Plot Against America, which you might – like. It was on HBO. You'd probably like it. It's a good revisionist history on if FDR didn't win the election in 1938 or 1940. And Charles Lindbergh won.
Oh, Chucky boy. He was fun.
What? you just paused. John is frozen right now. We'll come back to him. I want to hear his Charles Lindbergh take. Chucky boy. But yeah, Lindbergh was he had some good video with Hitler. Oh, there he is. There we go. What's your Chucky Lindbergh take?
Very fond of Hitler.
Yeah, there you go. He was a big Hitler guy.
He made the flight, but he also had some
early Hitler guy.
Yeah. He bought in early on Amazon.
Early Hitler stock guy and. Yeah, it's based on a book by Philip Roth, but I say that to say, so I was watching that, it's like six parts, and it's David Simon, who, you know, The Wire and a bunch of other things, but like every scene is like, so I'm like bullshitting on my phone and you'll miss like 3 minutes and you're like, I've missed something. I'm like rewinding just to make sure I didn't miss dialogue.
Got to pay attention.
Yeah, you got to like focus in, so... It's tough watching things with detail these days, you know?
Yeah, because you're constantly distracted.
Constantly.
And I'm constantly distracted anyways, so.
Yeah.
I mean, either way, if I really actually want to watch, I have to go put my phone in another room or I'll just get distracted. I'm easily distracted, like those squirrels in your backyard.
Yeah, 100%. It's tough. Yeah. But, yeah, it was other than the MJ thing, I was watching that. The Plot Against America was good. I just did that. It's only six episodes and easily digestible. John Turturro.
Why not? Love Turturro. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll give that a shot. Is it slow? It sounds like it might be a little slow.
It is methodical. Slow. Yeah, it's definitely not like a lot of action. Yeah, but it's just one of those. It's like a timely perspective on the 1940s, if that makes sense.
Totally makes sense. Yeah.
So
it sounds a little slow though.
Oh yeah, 100%. There's not a lot. There's not a lot of war stuff going on. It's pretty. I guess yeah, it'd be categorized as slow. it's not Mission Impossible. So.
Okay.
Have you been watching any fast paced stuff? What are you watching?
You're coming
to me. You're watching Better Call Saul.
Better Call Saul. Yeah, that's methodical for sure. That was just fun to watch you try and get to slow. Better Call Saul, definitely slow, but very good. We're in the last season. I think we got like 5 episodes left. You got to buy the new season though. It's not on Netflix.
Oh, season 5.
Yeah.
Isn't it on FX though?
Only the last 4 episodes are available on FX. So we have to buy like the first 6. Good stuff. What did I just watch? I just watched Breakdown. Kurt Russell.
In the truck.
Yeah, just watched. That was fast.
Oh, yeah.
For sure. Forgot about that one. That's on.
That was good. Well, who's the guy, the bad guy? Was JT.
Yeah, he was a bad guy in a lot of shit.
Yeah.
I forget his name, but it's.
Dad went and saw that. I think
you
were with us
too. For sure. I remember thinking it wanted to go.
I was thinking about seeing that in theaters, like.
And being pumped about it, dude. Yeah, and the and so many bad decisions made in that. And a lot. It's hard to when you're tying together. Like, no way, man. They couldn't get away with hurt. Like they trick him into letting her go in the truck by herself ahead.
I watched it again, but yeah.
Oh, it's well. You're like, no one would. They'd just be like, no, we're gonna stay here. I don't even know. She's like one of those like 90s. Yeah, she's in a few. She looks familiar, but I have no idea.
Christy Swanson lookalike.
Yeah, and Russ Irby is just dressed in super 90s gear. It's a very, very 90s movie.
Breakdown. I've been doing 90s movies too.
Break that down.
Breakdown's mid to late 90s. What was that, 96, 97?
Something like that, yeah, right in the middle. And it's it does not age as well. The back half of it is a little tough, but
90s,
the idea of it is a good movie.
90s movies can be pretty hit and miss in how they age, for sure. We just I just watched 2 90s movies back to back last night.
What'd you watch?
I did The King of New York straight into New Jack City.
Jesus. Same film.
A little bit. One is much more New Jack City is much more like,
I've only seen New Jack City. I actually haven't seen King of New York.
Yeah, New Jack City is much more, not Hollywood, but kind of like almost fun, a little bit more fun, or like it, I don't know. I'm trying to think. Well, I guess in comparison, King of New York is like gritty, like darker, grimy movie.
New Jack City's a little more hip hop.
Definitely a little bit more well known. The King of New York is super hip hop. That
New Jack Swing.
They're interesting. You know what it is? It's like they're spawned from the same thing. But King of New York, I guess I'd never had gone and watched it. I've now watched it twice during the quarantine, and because I you always hear King of New York is like referenced so much in hip hop. With I think Tupac has mentioned it, and I know Biggie used to say he's the Black Frank White. And it's like early Larry Fishburne, mid-career Christopher Walken, but it's like revival Christopher Walken, because I think after this he went, the 90s were good to him after this. He did this and then obviously like True Romance and Pulp Fiction and some good 90s stuff for Christopher Walken. But this cast in King of New York is crazy. Steve Buscemi's in it. Giancarlo Esposito from Better Call Saul and Breaking Bad. And then who else is in there?
David Caruso.
David Caruso. Wesley Snipes.
That's 90s right there.
Nutty cast. And they're all like – Caruso had already kind of established himself, but but Wesley Snipes is like just coming on. Like after this movie, he went on like a 4-year tear.
Passenger 57. Let's get serious, dude.
Leading all the way to Passenger 57 and Demolition Man.
Demolition Man. Drop Zone. Get
Drop
real.
Drop Zone was the back end of that. Yeah. He
had Love Snipes.
It is crazy. That 90s, early 90s was that. Think about the late 80s into the early 90s. You've got these guys coming into Hollywood like Fishburne, Wesley Snipes. Who else would be in that? Well, Denzel, and then
Ricochet. Watched that the other day. That's on Amazon Prime.
And Samuel L. Jackson.
Nugget for you.
Ricochet has not aged well, but crazy movie though. John Lithgow.
Oh yeah.
Was nuts in that movie.
Oh yeah, great bad guy.
But yeah, King of New York is great. It's really a dark. Did you ever watch The Bad Lieutenant?
No.
Harvey Keitel. So they just remade it with Nick Cage a few years back, and I watched that. It's a very dark film. But this dude that directed, Abel Ferrara, is the King of New York guy. It's just gritty shit.
Dude, hell yeah. I'll give it a run.
Tits, blood, reckless gunfire. It's like it's 100 minutes of just pure, like, fucking let's go, dude.
All right.
90s though. 90s films are just very funny to watch sometimes.
Oh yeah, they have all the one-liners and the God, romantic comedies were ridiculous.
Yeah.
Just like, you know, she drops a note on the ground. It's so cliche. Like, I just saw She's Out of My League, and that's like on the cusp of
what is that one?
That's the one where he's like a TSA guy and she's this super hot.
Oh, with T.J. Miller was in the
yes.
cover band.
Yes.
That is
Adult Education is the name of the band. Amazing. But it was interesting to watch it because it's, I think that's like 2006 or 2007.
Is it? Okay.
Mid 2000s, either way. Yeah. It's kind of in that same, they're still doing the easy story of like, you know, they're going to get together. The guy, you know what I mean? It's just like, it's kind of annoying actually to watch because you know it's just going to end up together.
I love the girl.
They don't make them like that anymore though, in a good way or a bad way. They just don't make movies like that anymore. It's funny to watch.
I don't know why that hasn't, like romantic comedies now are like just not as good. I don't know. They're
not that I'm looking for it. It was just funny to watch it. Like,
I used to watch them though a lot.
They were funny. Yeah. It's like a easy laugh, but they don't make them like that anymore.
No.
Serendipity. That ain't coming out.
Yeah, and it is a weird thing because it's like now all these romantic comedies always have to be almost, there's like forced like racial connotations in it too. It's always got to be like there's one, I'm living out in LA now, there's one with Kumail and Issa Rae, and it's almost like, I get that that's probably a good romantic comedy, but it's also like it has to be an Indian dude and a black chick.
Mm-hmm.
And not to say it would be a different movie with just like, I don't know, plain looking white people. You just can't cast it like that anymore. But then the storyline also has to do with the racial stuff too. It's always about that more than just give me some fucking dick jokes. Just give me some stupid ass ridiculous jokes is all I want. I don't need all the other stuff with it.
With the best friend giving you bad advice and the girlfriend, it's just, I don't know. It was, I guess it's what we grew up with. So that's why it's more like,
those movies have not aged well with PC culture, though. I mean, it's
no.
Like, somebody brought up Hangover 1 recently, and in the trailer,
yeah, doctor, yeah.
Yeah. In the trailer, they say the F word slur that's, you know, the gay slur, and like,
it's cringeworthy, yeah. When you hear it, you're like, oh, God.
Bradley Cooper, peak Bradley Cooper. But
on record.
Yeah, so it's been interesting. But yeah, I'm crushing through 90s movies. Wesley Snipes stuff has been great. New Jack City was pretty hilarious to watch. It was cool. And then what else have I been doing? Not too much. Chilling, doing a lot of long walks.
Yeah, nothing's going on. It's that's the thing. Like, mom called the other day and like, what are you doing? What do you mean, what am I doing?
I'm not doing anything.
No one's doing anything. What are you doing? She's like, nothing. But it's like, that's what I'm saying. Just got the bike today. That'll be big thing to try and put together, and have to change the perspective a little bit. It'll be fun.
I've been doing Xbox. I've been playing Rocket League.
You ever heard of that? No.
It's like I don't even know what I'm doing in there. I'm in a car and there's a soccer ball.
Wow.
And I'm really bad at it. But sometimes I'm good and I'm like, this game is great. Kind of cute.
Yeah, that's been my experience. I'm really bad at these video games, so I just stay away from it.
Really bad.
Yeah, like embarrassing, like where people that you're playing with are like, are you okay? Are you wearing glasses? Can you see?
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
But I've gotten drunk a couple times this week, which is nice. Got drunk with the roommates and a couple people. We've been playing beer pong. Felt alive.
Nice. There you go. And you still got your shot? You're still pretty good?
Streaky. Always streaky.
Yes. Good. Always good with the shit talking. You're a good shit talker. Getting a guy's head.
Yeah. It was. You know what? I couldn't get in my zone, really.
You're a big elbows guy, if I remember, too.
Well, watch the elbows. I think that's something that.
Well, there's always that guy. Yeah, there's always
self accountability. You know.
Well, elbows. That doesn't count. So.
And then watch your elbow, and you know, scouting report. Like, did this dude will bounce on you?
Big time. Exactly. Oh, those are always funny when you got a new partner and you're like, I could not be more serious here. This guy will bounce almost every time if you let him.
This dude so keep your will hand. Bounce on you.
Right, and then he bounces, and your guy doesn't get it, and you're looking at him like, what did I say about him bouncing?
I've told you this multiple times.
Yeah, stop talking to her. It's never going to happen. Stop. Start watching him.
Some rules came up. Bitches blow. Remember that one?
Oh, God, yeah.
That occurred, and we were like, dude, we're not. Bitches don't blow right now. Also, 2020.
House rules, dude. House rules, dude.
House rules. And then that was kind of fun, and then I did.
Yeah, you can't do that. You're right. Now this day, you can't say bitches blow.
You kidding me? Yeah, it's very.
No, you kicked out of a party. Yeah.
So you're calling her a bitch then? Is that what you're doing?
You're like, no, I just meant that. Well, maybe.
Yeah. Well, how about you blow? Because you're a bitch, Jerry. And then we were playing. And then I was doing a power hour on Zoom, and I was drinking.
Oh, God.
Drank like 5 Trulies in an hour.
Power hour is intense for sure. You don't think the little sips are going to get to you, but after that hour, you're like, wow, it's a powerful drink. I'm drunk.
So that was cool. But,
well, that's good. No beer pong over here, but, we've had some drinks for sure. Cooked a Luminati's deep dish pizza last night. Didn't cook it. You know, you got one of those take and bakes.
But how long did that take to, you had to cook it for a little bit.
That's a 45 minute process. 100%.
How did it come out?
It's good. It was for like a frozen pizza. Damn good.
What's your deep dish take?
I like deep dish, but I don't want to do it. First of all, you can't do it all the time. You're going to gain. It's insane. Daily. What'd you have for lunch? Well, I'm going to have another deep dish pizza.
Yeah.
And see if I don't pass out in the lawn. I like deep dish though, but I just don't want to have it all the time.
This is good. Do you
floor? Luminati's not my favorite. Yeah, I do.
Yeah, you should.
It's insane. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like the, and of course I prefer it at the store. We had, shout out Snide's Tent. We went to, first of all, 3 years ago today, it was just on Facebook. 3 years ago today, we went to Chicago for your show in Chicago with Mike Enders and at, what was the name of that
spot?
Chappelle, that's right. But I just saw a photo of us that weekend, and we went to Pequod's that same weekend. Hungover too. Hangover, deep dish will get you.
I think really good. Think about it. I think Chappelle hosted that show, and now within a year, I'll be hoping to open for Chappelle.
You're licking his boots.
That is so funny how things.
Oh yeah, I remember.
He's got. Yeah, he's close friends with Joe Rogan. I think things have changed a little bit. He's on King and the Sting, crushing life. But that's who, actually me and him are crushing these 90s movies.
Yeah, I saw him on the FaceTime last night.
He hasn't seen. So I kind of am doing a. First of all, that Chicago weekend was great. Also, that was a
100% fantastic weekend.
I think we had a late night with Parsons, me, you, and maybe D, and we were playing a lot of pop punk.
Oh yeah.
And we did and I kind of, my wheelhouse is, I go brand new Midtown Hot Rod Circuit?
Hot Rod Circuit, yeah. Midtown. Whoa, I didn't see Midtown coming.
And then I'll do, you know, Newfound Glory, obviously. Mm-hmm. You know, and then you do breeze past Blink-182, but that's really formative.
100%.
But that's kind of my stuff. You guys are a little deeper sometimes, especially Parsons. Parsons will bring one out that's like, you don't remember this? Like, no, I do
not. Is this The Drawing Board by Mest?
Oh, dude, I remember that. That's
Mest was great.
That might have been my introduction to pop punk.
Mest?
Outside of Blink-182. Yeah, like the deeper levels of it was Mest. Because you had a CD.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that compilation CD you had, and it had, you know what it also had on it? It had Nickelback, which is weird.
Yeah, early Nickelback, probably.
Which,
yeah.
Which the first Nickelback song is an undeniably great song. what was it called?
You Remind Me.
You Remind Me. Good song. And then it had Mass Dashboard.
The Ataris, Alkaline Trio.
Alkaline Trio.
Yeah, they were good.
You know what's weird is trying to look at Alkaline Trio now. They have so many. They've kind of gone a different route. But their early stuff, I can't find their first album. I remember liking a couple songs, but I don't know what they were.
Yeah, dude. I saw them with Papa Roach one time. Papa Roach?
With Newfound Glory and Blink-182.
Oh, there we go. That was the Alkaline Trio opened that. I was at the same show.
Yeah, me, you, Sam Oxton.
No, I went with Megan Muller. Mistake, by the way.
I was there though.
Right. Yeah, you guys were there.
You had
to, right, separate. Yeah.
Yeah. I went separate.
That was a mistake.
And I think we smoked weed out of a Coke can the night before.
It was the first time you guys ever smoked weed.
First time I ever smoked weed. Right. Sam had done it. If you can believe it, at a Jewish summer camp.
No way. But oh yeah, I remember Blink came out with the word fuck on fire. They dropped that. I remember thinking, at, you know, at whatever, 15 or 16, that was the coolest thing I ever saw.
Yeah. Pop punk.
Long time ago. That was what an interesting time for music though, really, to think about it. All those bands were getting huge. Yeah.
Post 9/11 again, people dealt with it differently.
Everybody's
a lot
angry.
Of angst.
Yep.
Heavy angst.
Emotion.
And you know what though? It's crazy that music has aged pretty well. It's actually good. It's weird listening to it in your 30s now. You're like, well, I'm not this angry, but
oh no, but you are. But you deal with it better.
For a songwriting perspective, though, like they're very like poppy, well-written, kind of fun song still.
Oh yeah, I love think it.
A lot of that might be nostalgia though. I don't know if you can introduce it maybe to somebody else and be like, do you remember this era of music?
Right. We love it because grew up right in the middle of it. I don't know if how it would do these days if it just came
like
back
a fresh
around.
A fresh introduction, because like
think it could.
Because when you freshly introduce somebody to like 80s pop, you're like, well, this is undeniably good. Genesis.
It's just fun, yeah.
That era is very, it's an interesting time to have lived through and like felt those things and been like attached to those bands so much.
Also, there's just good advice in there too. What's the Newfound Glory is like?
I still choose my friends over you.
No, well, that some girls are crazy. You got to watch out for the beautiful ones. You got to watch out for the younger ones. And they kind of break it down. You're like, oh, that is right.
Yeah. You know?
They've been through it.
Jude Law on A Semester Abroad.
Oh, God. Great album.
But, yeah, that because I think watching Babyface and Teddy Riley battle, you're like, oh, this – and this is something that I've actually been thinking a lot more about than I should, but – 90s R&B might be like of our lifetime probably the greatest generation of music.
You are preaching to the choir,
don't you think? Like that,
I loved it. Yeah.
Probably 89 to like maybe 96 or something like that. Like that songwriting, and you could go back further too. You could probably go 87, 86, but like you know, the Teddy Riley, Babyface. There's some other songwriters that I'm not as familiar with, but like,
yeah, the best era. They were still thinking about, that's why we're a little different, like in a, not like these millennial, like we're not texting girls a WID, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's because we're a little bit, we came from a generation that was a little more deeper when it came to talking to the opposite sex.
It is a good generation to dive back into because you're like, this is just good songwriting. The bridge mattered a lot. Whereas now people will make 2.5 minute songs and there's no bridge.
Right.
You would wait till 3 minutes into the song and be like, dude, you'd be like,
you have elevated this.
You'd song. Like, you'd like introducing a song to somebody. You're like, you think this is good right now? Wait till the bridge. This thing is going to fucking blow
you. Stop pointing fingers. The blame is on me.
Yeah. Wanye was the bridge man. And, oh, yeah.
Building bridges.
Did you watch that Teddy Riley Babyface battle?
A little bit. I didn't watch the whole thing, no. Well, dude, hits. Same with all those, like, all the battle things. You just forget some of these. You're like, damn, this guy made that?
Yeah.
The RZA versus DJ Premier.
That was really cool. Yeah, but that, that 90s R&B era.
Untouchable.
Truly.
It's my favorite.
It's good. I do think R&B's made a little bit of a comeback recently. The last like 3 years, people are finally really embracing some R&B stuff. But it'll never be like it was.
Tory Lanez, all that stuff.
Tory Lanez, definitely. SZA and Sir, S-I-R, Sir, last year put out one of the better R&B albums. And, you know, there's some good stuff. But either way, what you've been doing, anything else? You've just been maintaining?
Just chilling, man. Yeah. Looking forward to, like I said, bike life. Seeing if I'm mechanically inclined enough to get this thing done.
Bike life would be good. I think I live by a pocket of Hasidic Jewish people. And I was just walking and I saw two Jewish dudes on a bike, white button-up shirts.
Full button-up pants.
And they're both biking by, and one screaming back to the other. He said, this is how I relieve my stress. He said, I'll do it more if you do it with me. And they're, like, screaming at each other, and the dude from the back's like, you sound like my 10-year-old. And they just bike by. It's very funny to watch. But
I miss those interactions.
It was probably it's cool to just see people.
Oh yeah, miss it so much.
It's the highlight of my life, but or my week, I should say. But so hopefully I get more interactions like that. I'm gonna try to seek out this pocket of Hasidic Jews that look like
integrate yourself, get in there. Yeah,
it's weird. I want to say what up, but I can't. It's like you can't even introduce yourself to new people right now.
All right, that's very strange for sure.
So bizarre. So I can't wait to introduce myself to new people again.
Me too.
But any closing thoughts? The end of April, you got May coming up. You excited about life moving forward?
It's going to be May, yeah. I mean, yeah, I'm just maintaining, man. Like I said, not. I don't know. Nothing crazy to look forward to. Looking forward to this Jordan doc on Sunday.
Episodes 5 and 6. Hopefully baseball will continue to make some strides.
That'd be great.
You see they're separating it to 3 divisions they're trying to do, maybe.
I didn't see that, but yeah, it makes sense.
It'd be 3, so you'd only play your division, and we would play against people in the Central. So it'd be like the AL and NL Central and the Braves.
Okay, let's go. Bring it on.
Yeah, so that would be – we would only play 10 teams. And honestly, I like our chances. So hopefully next week we'll bring more positive news. Seems like things are trending upward, but I'll talk to you soon. Good catching up, brother.
Always love you, brother. Peace.
I love you too. Peace up. A-Town down.